Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of Responsive Design Weekly. My name is Justin Avery, and I am your host and curator of the Responsive Design Weekly newsletter. This week we are on episode 53. It's me again, and at the top of the show, I just want to have a quick shout out to our sponsor again this week. Is a lovely conference called MobXCon. You can go there at mobxcon.com. They're a mobile user experience conference, and it is coming up on the 9th of September. It's a Friday in Berlin at the Kino International. Now, this is a remarkable room, and the screen is massive. So I was really fortunate. I got to speak there last year, and in the lead up to it, I was going to be talking about performance, like responsive design and performance on the web. And when I saw this screen, I changed the tact and I went with it was still about the general topic, but I went with a more space-themed talk so that I could have huge, big, sweeping pictures of the universe up on this gigantic screen. It was awesome. Like I said, it's the 9th of September. It's in Berlin. And the topics that they're covering this year, mobile topics keep changing, but they're talking about some real-world responsive design projects. They're talking about the conversational interface. So these days we're going back to the IRC channels, and we're exposing information through conversational UIs. They're going to be talking about chatbots and the Internet of Things and the vision of zero UI, which is something which Stephen Hay coined. And he actually started his company is called Zero Interface, because that's the idea, is the whole concept is you want to get from point A to point B in the quickest possible time. And if you can reduce that down to zero, then you've got the perfect interface. Anyway, they've got a ton of awesome topics coming up. And if you would like to go, we have a special code. Last week I told you about this. I said, don't book your tickets. But this week you can. If you use the code RWDPodcast, I probably could have guessed that. But RWDPodcast. And that's good for €60 off your ticket. So it's an excellent conference. I highly recommend heading along to that. And so this week, I wanted to touch on a couple of quick things. You might be able to hear some ever slightly snoring in the background. I have my daughter. She's 2 months today. She was just 2 months yesterday. She's strapped to me. She's not having a good evening. She's not feeling well. So we're going to be quick and try not to wake her. First time I've ever done a podcast with a baby. But there we go. So this week, so there was a couple of things. One, as I was going through listing some tools and some things that I wanted to come across, I refound browsersync.io. So I've been doing a lot of testing with some websites that were going live recently, and testing across multiple devices. And so I've been running the website from my local computer, and I also wanted to see how it looked on the different devices. So I have an Android, I've got a BlackBerry, which is weird, and a couple of iOS devices as well. But then I've also got my laptop screen, a large Dell screen next to it as well. And what I want to do is I want to run the website that I have locally across all those devices and see how it looks across the different breakpoints. Now, you can do that by typing the URL into each of the different ones, but then you've got it running locally. So how do you access the local network? You know, to tunnel things. But I came across something which I used a long time ago called BrowserSync. Now, BrowserSync, if you go to browsersync.io, I went along there as I was doing this testing this week, and I checked, and I've never covered it in the newsletter before, which is amazing. It is so awesome. So apart from the fact that it's free, and free things are always great, it does everything that you would expect a really well-paid service to do. So you get it running on your computer, and I won't just say it's as simple as doing this, because it's not straightforward and easy, but they do have some great tutorials on their site, browsersync.io, so go and check it out. But once you've done that, and once you've got it running, what it will do is it will broadcast your site across the Wi-Fi network. And if you have it up on your screen, so your regular desktop screen, and then you push it to your mobile devices, as you scroll on your desktop screen, it will also scroll on the devices that you're looking at as well. So you can see across a whole bunch of different inputs, different viewports, how your site looks as you scroll up and down. And what's better than that is when you click on anything on the site. So if you click on a link and you go to a different page, then all of the browsers will update, right? So browser sync, the key, the tip is in the name. So you've got scrolling, you've got clicks. If you're filling out forms as well, yeah, you guessed it. As you fill out a form, it will also do it in all the other browsers. And it's not like one of the browsers is the alpha. So you start this journey on your desktop. It's not like you have to do everything on the desktop and just see how it works. You can switch across to your mobile or your tablet, and you can use your finger and swipe up and down, and that will then control the website on all of the different browsers as well. So it keeps everything in sync. It's very, very cool. So scroll, click, refresh, form actions, they're all mirrored. If you are running it as part of a gulp or grunt task, then any updates to the CSS or your SAS files will automatically reload those files into the browser in place where you're at, and you'll be able to see the changes. So if you see something is wrong, you update the code yourself in your Sublime or your TextMate or Dreamweaver or whatever you're using, and then save it, and it runs the code and spits out CSS, then all of the browsers that you're looking at will sync up with a new CSS, and you'll be able to see the changes in real time. I just can't believe I've never covered it. So definitely, for one, you should all be testing your designs across a multiple set of devices. We've got tools like your device. Oh, what is it? The device mode in Chrome DevTools and in Firefox DevTools. There's simple things like the Am I Responsive tool that we've got. That's more for screenshots. It's not for testing. You really need real devices for testing, and that's super important. And if you don't have a set of devices yourself, what I advise you should build them up. So next time you do a project, slap $200 extra on it, $500 extra, just extra on it, and go and use that money not to put in your pocket, but go and buy a device. All right, go buy a device that you find your, have a look at the analytics that your clients on your client's site or your own site, and look at what devices are accessing it. If you don't have that device, buy it for your next project, and then the project after that, buy another device, and one after that, buy another one. They don't have to be brand new. You can get them off eBay or wherever else, Gumtree, Craigslist. It doesn't have to be an expensive exercise, but the idea is that you build up a series of devices that you can then use tools like Browser Sync. If you don't have the budget at the moment, then you can do cool things. Well, there's a cool site out there, which I think is ODL. Let's type that in, ODL.org. There's a tip, go buy ODL.org. We're looking for Open Device Lab. So a friend of mine, Jay Messinger, he's over in Germany, works at Adobe, lovely guy. He co-founded this with Christian Schaefer and Anselm Hanneman. Sorry, Anselm, I hope I pronounced that right. Anselm, incidentally, does an awesome newsletter each week as well. It appears on Smashing Magazine. You should check that out. But these guys all came up with this Open Device Lab, which is you add it as someone who wants to contribute to the community. If you have a set of devices and you don't mind someone coming into your studio or place of work and using those devices to help them build better websites, then you can register yourself on opendevicelab.com. And so people around who don't have devices, maybe like yourself, you can go on here and you can have a look at the map of the area, find a location that has devices, and you can go and visit it and use it for free. So really, really impressed with these guys, opendevicelab.com. If you don't have them, then go ahead and use them. They've also got a cool thing there called DYDD, which is donate your dusty device. So if you have an old phone that you're not using, send it into them and they will provide it to one of the key open device lab areas to help bolster up the number of devices that they have. So they do nothing but good work. Yeah, they're great, great set of people. So there was that thing I wanted to touch on. The other, there's a new policy coming in for iOS or WebKit around video. Now, for us, video can be a real pain in the butt. Now, I especially hate video that autoplays when you open up a browser tab. And for me, like at the moment, I don't have too many. I may have 10 browser tabs open at the moment, but there's often a lot more, especially on a Thursday when I'm doing newsletters. There's a ton of tabs open, and one of them will have like sound and a video playing, and I've got my headphones on, and I don't want to hear it anymore. Fortunately, Chrome has that little, they've got an icon which you can see where the noise is coming from. But anyway, autoplay in video is super annoying. And for that, they wouldn't let people autoplay video, or you shouldn't autoplay video when you're doing it. Now, these new policies have come in because we kind of love GIFs, right? Like if you use Slack, you probably use Giphy. If you follow Ethan Marcotte, which you probably do because you're listening to a responsive design podcast, you will know that he likes to communicate quite frequently through the medium of GIF. Now, we used GIFs because we wanted to show movement or movies on the web, and we couldn't embed a movie onto the web in a web page. So we converted the video to GIFs so that we could see it. And now, because GIFs are so popular and so poorly performant, they're huge file sizes. places like Facebook and Instagram and I'm not sure about Instagram, but Facebook and Twitter, you upload a GIF, which they then convert to a video to then play. So it's a video turned into a GIF, which has been returned into a video. So it's performant on these applications. So it's just a bit silly, really. But anyway, this new video policies for iOS, they're getting around that issue. So if you have a video which doesn't have an audio track, then you will be allowed to autoplay it. If the video has an audio track, but you elect to mute that audio track through the HTML within the video tag, then it will allow you to autoplay that video. The video will only autoplay when it scrolls into viewport, so you won't be wasting bandwidth. It's just a good idea. In fact, the link that I have in the newsletter this week goes into this. The set of policies they have are fantastic. They make a lot of sense. I think it's a really that's a really cool thing. I think that about it for this week? I think so. Like, I just wanted to touch on a couple of small ones. The other thing, we've been talking about progressive web apps as well. There was always an issue where I would have people question me because I'm all for progressive web apps. And I was in a meeting yesterday and they were talking about entrepreneurs and like, oh, we want this awesome tool for entrepreneurs to be able to find what position they're at and what they need to know next. And I was like, oh, you could do it. And they were asking, like, could we do a native app? I'm like, no, you don't want a native app. You want a progressive web app. It will work offline. It'll work online. It'll be great. And one of the questions that people sometimes ask when I jump up and down about them is, well, if they're offline, how are we going to see how they're using it? Like, can we get any stats about the usage because they're offline? And I'm kind of like, yeah, probably. But this week I came across this cool article from Google on the developer's blog, which is all for offline Google Analytics. So if you are jumping on the progressive web apps, there's a whole set of instructions on how you can implement your Google Analytics on your progressive web apps. Now, it doesn't go into details about doing things like PWiki or any other analytics programs, but you can expect that because it's a Google developer thing, and pretty much everyone uses Google Analytics anyway. But it's quite cool. It stores it offline in IndexedDB, and then once the connection is made, it then attempts to send the details off as well. So that's very, very cool as well. But that's it for this week. I managed to get through that without waking up Darcy, so yay to her. Rate us up in iTunes. Tell your friends about it. Share the URLs. Keep on the web. If you have any suggestions or things that you want to hear about, shoot an email through to justin@responsivedesign.is or head over to responsivedesign.is and fill out the contact form and let me know what you want to do. If you're working on something, tell me about it. Shoot me a tweet at reswebdes, R-E-S-W-E-B-D-E-S on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook any way you can. We just want to hear about the things that you're doing. If you're using progressive web apps, if you're finding issues, just let us know. And we're really keen to share more. I say let us know. Let me know. I'm really keen to hear about it. And I really want to share your stories with the rest of our readers and listeners as well. So thanks for that. Contribute where you can. And I will see you again next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.